Hello, it's Orit Krug coming back to you on Mind Your Body after about 3 years. Oh my gosh, I know it's been forever. And I'm not necessarily restarting this podcast, but I really felt called to put out this episode after all this time getting so many messages from so many lovely humans about feeling really called to this work, becoming a dance therapist, becoming a somatic practitioner, and wanting to know, like, how can I really do this work and become trained in a way that works with my life and the resources that I have or the resources that I lack, including time, money, and anything else. So I spoke to my friend and colleague, Chelsea Horton, who actually recently started an embodied somatic training facilitator program to help people become a somatic practitioner. And we decided to record this podcast episode together. It was so much fun. It's something that I'm excited to share with you. And before we get to the episode, I do want to share that in a very, very quick, concise way, the last 3 years for me have been incredible in developing my own practice, my own experience, helping people heal trauma from their bodies so that they can experience greater, deeper self-love and love in their relationships. And I did a complete shift in my business to solely provide somatic therapy retreats. And that is what I'm doing these days. And it's incredible. I'm not on my computer very much. I'm not doing virtual work anymore with clients. We are just meeting in person in Sedona, Arizona, in Costa Rica, in Puerto Rico, in Joshua Tree, California, Zion National Park. I'm just listing all these amazing places that we have held retreats in the last couple of years. And if you are interested in coming to gather in person to do this incredible somatic healing work, then you can visit my website, oritkrug.com, and check out all the retreats that I have to offer at this time. Okay, enough about me. Let's focus on the topic of discussion here, how to become a somatic practitioner.
This is Mind Your Body, a dance movement therapy perspective on the integration of our emotional, cognitive, physical, and spiritual aspects of our being into one more aware and whole existence.
Here. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm like really out of practice, but okay. So today we have Chelsea Horton. Why don't you introduce yourself, Chelsea?
I know. I also have a hard time defining like what my title is anymore. I have my board certification in dance movement therapy. And I've also created my own accredited modality, the Healing Embodied Practitioner Training Program. You know, I have my own business and we work with people around the world, you know, like you have. And we support people with relationships. We support people to feel more at home in their bodies. You know how it goes. You know the magic of, you know, doing somatic work and creative somatic work at that. So yeah, founder of Healing Embodied and really excited to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah, me too. And for those who may have listened to this podcast before, it's been a while since I have published an episode and, you know, I don't have to go into those reasons, other projects, other things kind of became priority and, yeah, kind of fell off with this, but Chelsea and I caught up a couple of weeks ago and I really wanted to hear more about her, embodied somatic training certification, and we thought it would be a great idea to let all of you know a little bit more about that. And I know I get so many messages all the time about how do I become a dance therapist or a somatic practitioner? What are the alternate ways that I can do that? I don't know if I really want to go to graduate school and pay for a master's degree and do that whole thing. So it seemed really appropriate to bring back the podcast for a day and talk more about this so that when we continue to get messages, we can send this episode to answer a lot of those questions. Yeah, go ahead.
I get the same questions too. So I'm really glad that now I have this resource that we can both point people to for people who are wondering, like, how do you do somatic work with people? Like, what are the options out there?
Yeah. Should we define or kind of explain what somatic work means first?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Yeah, somatic work is literally anything involving the body. Soma is the body. And so technically, people who do massage therapy and acupuncture are technically doing body-based work. But the somatic work that we are going to be referring to today is in the emotional realm. You know, our emotions are stored in the body. So we work with emotions through the body. That's the kind of somatic work we're going to be talking about today.
That's a great distinction. And I also think it's a great distinction because somatic therapy and somatic work has been trending, I would say, in the last few years. And there are a lot of people talking about it on social media. And this is also this is something I get a lot from the clients that I work with. Like, before we work together, they're like, yeah, I've done somatic work and somatic strategies and techniques. And when I kind of dig a little bit deeper, it's like, yeah, I try these 3 quick tips on Instagram to try to regulate my nervous system. And yet I'm here and I'm still feeling right disconnected from my body, or like my trauma is hijacking my nervous system. And so I also think it, you know, we can dig a little bit deeper and say that somatic work isn't like this quick fix, do these poses or these movements and you will be healed. What we do specifically, and what I believe we'll talk more about, is the somatic work in therapeutic relationship, which is an essential component to healing and regulating, and within the context of a therapy session, or in my case, a retreat, which has therapy sessions as well, we are doing intentional somatic work to understand how your emotions are feeling in your body and how to move through them in a way that is uniquely helpful to you, that can't really necessarily be treated, quote unquote, treated with, you know, these quick tips on Instagram that I do think it works for some people, but we all have such different bodies and needs and traumas that the work is so important for it to be individualized, even within group settings.
I'm so with you on that. And I think people have the assumption that somatic work is, I'm just going to give people these body-based skills and tips and tricks, which those are helpful. It's great to have a lot of tools in your tool bag. But the somatic work that we're really going to be talking about today is more process-oriented and meeting, like you said, meeting that individual in their unique experience. And so there's no way 3 tips and tricks on Instagram is going to be able to fully meet the complexity and the nuance and the context of that unique individual's body and their experience. And so it's learning the somatic work that we do is being able to see an individual, like see them, deeply see them and see what is happening in their body and help them meet their own bodies and their own emotional experience and literally learn how to physiologically process that through versus kind of slapping a prescriptive tip or trick on top of it.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't mean to start this episode all, negative, or I don't think it's negative, but it's pointing out some risks of why somatic work, or some risks and consequences, I guess I would say, as a result of somatic work becoming more trendy and more popular, which is amazing in so many ways. Yet I also hear that there are more traditionally trained therapists knowing how important somatic work is and trying to learn about it through, you know, not really extensive trainings or not necessarily right resources. And so I'm also working with clients a lot in the last couple of years who have tried somatic work with their kind of like traditional talk therapist, and either feeling really unsafe, or they stir up some bodily sensation, which, you know, is often a trauma memory, and then they don't know how to help their clients navigate through that. And, you know, a lot of clients can leave feeling more triggered, or just like, you know, not like it's raw and it's not closed. And I've had clients who, this is, you know, this is kind of like worst case scenario, but one client that I recently worked with on retreat said that she got let go by a couple of therapists who were just like, you're not healable. And
wow.
Yeah, pretty horrible. And so that's why also I think training is so important. If anyone listening to this is like, yes, I really want to include more somatic work into my practice, I really want to be able to help people in that somatic approach. Because when you're going into the body, you are taking a risk. And it's a risk that has such incredible rewards. Yes. If we know how to do this in a way that is helpful to our clients. And but it's still a risk that could create more distress than healing.
Oh, I'm so glad you're speaking to the importance of like proper training and knowing how to effectively work with the body, because yeah, it's amazing that it's becoming trending. More people are aware of it. More people are taking it seriously. We're not like the unicorns as much anymore. We're not like the, what the heck do you do? It's like, oh yeah, somatics, I've heard of that, which is really great for us. There's less barriers that we have to get through to, you know, have people respect our work. But because it's so trendy and there are now so many different online courses that you can take, become somatic certified in 3 months, I'm like, oh, I feel like in my body, like this, you know, this work is so sacred to me. And I know it is to you as well. And we know the importance of guiding someone into their body and through the most difficult emotions in a way that feels safe, and not just safe, but empowering. It is the most sacred thing that I've ever done in my entire life. And so to be able to approach this work with this sense of reverence and sacredness and the respect that it deserves to hold someone in their embodied somatic experience as they're feeling something that they've been afraid to feel for decades, it does require a level of skill to be able to do that effectively, so that, you know, we don't create the experiences that you mentioned. And it's more than just getting someone into their body or getting them aware of their body. You have to be able to know how to navigate the resistance, the trauma reactions that happen in the moment, the interruptions of the mind that sound very convincing, that even as a therapist or practitioner, you can get sucked into the story with your client. So knowing how to cut through the noise of the mind as you're trying to get into the body, there's just so many pieces that are part of the skill set of somatic work. And I don't see a lot of trainings online, you know, somatic trainings, alternative, you know, coaching certifications addressing those very crucial things.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, do you want to dive a little bit deeper into what you just mentioned, those things that come up during somatic work with your clients, like the trauma responses, the mind jumping in and trying to take us out of the body. Like what feels important to share about what skill set we need to have for that, or the process around developing that skill set?
Yeah. I mean, I've worked with so many clients who's similar to what you said, have been to a therapist who's tried to do somatic work or even parts work. And they say that they're IFS trained, you know, internal family systems. They say that they're trained in these things. And yet I have clients coming to me saying, okay, we connected with this younger part of me, this younger traumatized part of me. And I was feeling that in my body. You know, she led me to my body and to this part of me that I uncovered. And the therapist was like, she needs to just let go. She needs to just let go. Have her let go. And my client was like, I shut down. I completely shut down. And so it's one thing to know, okay, guiding someone into the body, guiding someone to these younger, you know, past old parts of them that have been there for decades. It's one thing to know that. And it's another thing to know how to actually work with that part or that emotion in a way that's safe at the pace of the body versus the pace of the mind, which even as a practitioner, it comes from a good place. Oh, I want this person. I just want this person to heal and be able to let go. Of course you want that for your client. And that is not how survival mechanisms release themselves. They're clinging on for a reason. And so it's knowing, how do I understand the role that this protective mechanism, this survival response, how do I understand the role that that is somatically playing in this person's life and in this moment right here? How can I meet that reaction as it is and know how to slowly, gently, intentionally begin to uncover more of what's going on and what that part or that reaction or that person's body actually needs to be able to just let go. Yeah.
Yeah. Great example. Thank you. Yeah. And it, you know, what comes up for me is, okay, this, I just ran a retreat in Sedona, and this mantra, honoring my pace, was this huge guiding theme. Yeah. Honoring, like, the clients learning how to honor their pace, and also us as practitioners honoring the pace of our clients' process. Because, you know, a lot of, probably any therapist who's ever worked with any client, they know that the client just wants, you know, 1, 2, 3, I'm healed, right? Like, come on already, I want to feel better. And we know that, you know, every person has their own process. Some people do feel like they can let go right away, and for some people it takes longer, and there's all these different scenarios in between. So what brings up in me is how much work I've done myself to really learn to trust my body and understand my body and feeling all my feelings. And like, if I haven't, and I'm still, you know, I'm still growing and deepening and evolving, right? But it's like, so much of that work, which I believe started it, I mean, who knows when it started, but I actually started intentionally working through it in grad school during my training. And then, of course, deepening that for the last 14, 15 years. If I didn't know how to truly somatically trust myself and my body and my healing process, I don't think that I could be so tuned in to my clients and theirs and trust their process. Like, I have such a deep trust of my inner knowing and my body's wisdom that even when it looks like a client that I'm working with, and again, doing this retreats is like over 4 days, so we don't have very much time. Like, even when it looks like nothing's happening or they're not feeling better, or like all those classic things that, or insecurities that can come up as a therapist, I'm just like, nah, it's unfolding exactly as it should. And that, I think, is because of my own work.
Yeah. You're speaking to something that is so core to our approach and our training, which is your own personal embodiment. Because if you, as the facilitator, don't know how to be with your own uncomfortable feelings, you may subconsciously try to rush your client through their feelings by saying things like, just let go, instead of, oh no, we are going to be in this together because I know in my body that it's safe to feel this uncomfortable feeling. So I can meet you in it and hold space for it instead of trying to fill the space. There is a very important, seemingly subtle, but crucial distinction between holding space and filling space. And I think a lot of coaches, therapists, and practitioners just kind of learn to fill the space. What's the thing that I need to say? Mm-hmm. What's the thing that I need to do? What's the right intervention right here? What do I need to say that's going to make this change? And you're filling the space versus powerfully, safely, confidently holding the space for the body's natural wisdom to be able to unfold. And you're kind of just like leaving these little breadcrumbs one little moment at a time for your client's body to kind of unlock and go, oh, 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 versus putting something on their experience.
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that that is such an essential part of your training, because without that, you know, I don't think that we could do this work so sacredly and purely as you had said. And it's also making me think of the relational aspect, right? Like thinking deeper about that, like truly being with.
Yes.
Truly being with. And what came up for me is the comments that I've gotten from my clients about the eye contact that I hold, or like really looking, which is funny because it's something that I've built comfort over many years. Like, it's not like a naturally comfortable thing to like really look deeply and intimately into someone's eyes that I've just met. And yet people come back and say, the way that you looked at me, like you really see me. And I don't know if anyone's ever looked at me like that with such care. And again, this really comes back to my own work, where I still get uncomfortable holding eye contact or looking at people this way when I don't really know them, because I'm only working with them for a few days at a time. And there's so much self-development or self-work in relationships that is important too, like really being with, really seeing. And yeah, I wonder, I can't remember if we talked about this specifically, but like the relational aspect that you have in your training.
Yeah, you're speaking to something so important, the relationship piece, and something that I think so many therapists, coaches, people in the helping field struggle with really subconsciously and subtly is this codependent relationship where it's, I need to rescue you versus just see you. And when you're feeling something painful, I need to, oh God, I need to rescue you versus see you and be this loving witness to you as you are experiencing this and reflect back your own worth and your own light and your own power. And I think this is something, again, that I don't see taught explicitly in any other training program, which is how to move beyond those codependent patterns of rescuer, rescuee, and even the subtle people pleasing, like, oh my gosh, they need to have some big breakthrough. And so I've got to do all these amazing things and kind of perform versus be so deeply present in relationship with someone else, knowing that I don't need to perform. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to say the perfect thing. I don't need to rescue them from their pain. I simply need to be this powerful, loving witness too. And we, in our training, we talk about how you as the practitioner are the reparative relational experience for so many people. Like you said, no one's ever seen me like that. You become the reparative relational experience in this microcosm that is the therapeutic relationship, the client-practitioner relationship, where it unlocks something in someone they have this new experience coded into their body of, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like to be seen, to be vulnerable, and to know that it's safe. And now I can take that out into my world.
Yeah. So important. And I love that. Like, I love everything that you just said, and just feeling so grateful that you get it and are now teaching other people how to really embody this, this very present way of being with clients, like the most present, because it's embodied, because it's somatic, it's the most present you can be. And that reparative relationship experience is, it's the only way we can heal relationships, is in relationships.
Yeah.
Through having a similar yet different experience with people.
Yeah. It's experiential. It's felt. It's beyond words, even beyond a particular intervention. It is this really felt experience. So the practitioner being able to tap into that, into their own body, in order to bring that level of presence to the space with the client or clients. And that has been at the forefront of everything that we do in our training, is like your own personal embodiment. And when you notice stuff coming up in class of like, as I'm practicing this, I'm noticing this shame story, or I'm noticing myself pull away, or I'm noticing myself wanting to rush to fix. It's like, okay, let's address that in real time, because that's actually the very thing, you know, being able to be present without all that stuff hijacking you as the practitioner is the thing that makes you most effective. It's not the particular intervention or even particular somatic modality. It is the depth of presence that you bring, and that embodiment that you bring. And like you said, you know, being present with your body and someone's body is the deepest kind of presence that we can offer.
Yeah. And I'm just feeling and reflecting on how healing it is just personally to go through a program, a certification that helps people in this way to work through their own stuff, right? It's like, it's, you come out just more, I mean, I don't know what word you might want to use, but more healed, because you're doing this work yourself in your body first. So it's got so many benefits, right? You want to become a somatic practitioner, and also,
yeah,
you're like, whoa, yeah. I can navigate through my own emotions. I can feel my feelings. I know how to move through them. Like, inevitably, you're going to heal and grow as well.
Yes, it's a simultaneous process. And, you know, something we tell our students is, students a lot, is just because you're training to become a somatic practitioner doesn't mean you are outside of the human experience, and that you're suddenly like fully healed and there's nothing that you need to tend to. So being able to first own and embrace your own humanity and, you know, the things that come up for you, even as you are holding space for others. And the more you can embrace your own humanity and not make that a problem or evidence that you're not qualified, the better you can hold space for your client's humanity. And when your client goes, I should be more healed, you know, in your body, there's that shame story of like, I'm not allowed to be human. And I think a lot of people who go through a professional training program subtly have this belief like, oh, I'm here to be a professional and help others. I shouldn't have stuff coming up. And it's like, no, you're human. And that's okay. And we're here to help you hold space for your own humanity as you learn to hold space for other people's humanity.
Nice.
Yeah. I felt like I saw this real gap in the industry of training. You know, there's the path we went through, master's training. And, you know, for that, you had to have a bachelor's degree in a related field, and even to do the graduate, you know, program. And not everyone feels called to that. Not everyone has the capacity or the interest to do a training program where you have to write a paper every week and take these massive standardized tests, which don't really actually do anything to help you learn how to hold that depth of presence that we talked about, you know, let alone the time and financial commitment. And then, you know, since starting my own accredited certification program, I've just been, you know, Facebook has been just bombarding me with ads for other somatic certification programs. And just out of curiosity, I'm like, okay, what's out there? And even some of the biggest ones that I've seen, it's like a 3 to 6 month program. I'm not seeing anything on there about your own personal embodiment, about codependent relational dynamics, about, you know, finding your own intuitive way of working with people. It's like very, you know, copy and paste. And also the requirements for graduation are things like a self-assessment and make sure you watch all the class recordings. So it's these massive trainings with massive amounts of students. So there's not really much of that hands-on. The facilitator is seeing you practice and able to see if you're applying what you're learning effectively and also be able to support you as you're navigating your own stuff that comes up. And I was like, wow, there really is this gap in the industry of training. And I was like, I want to fill it.
Yeah, that is such a good point too. I mean, you and I have been entrepreneurs for, you know, several years and understand that there's a lot of corruption in the coaching industry. And I mean, yeah, of course there are bigger somatic training programs that perhaps other coaches have built and are just kind of trying to like rinse and repeat and get as many clients in and out the door. And I know you, and I know like that you have done so much work on yourself to keep your integrity and your values straight, and that like, of course we want to be successful, but we're not just going to like screw people over. Yes. To do that. And I know that whoever goes through your program is going to get the attention and the care and the training that they deserve and be treated like a human, speaking of humanity, instead of just another number. So I think that's just like, that alone is worth doing your program over like any other kind of coach created programs out there. Of course, I'm saying this not knowing what the other programs are, but I have a lot of experience working with other coaches to know that like a huge percentage of coaches aren't necessarily doing the work to keep their integrity. Like they're choosing money and success over other values that I know you and I have kept really priority.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that and reflecting that. And part of it is like, if someone's going to put my training's letters after their name, I want to ensure that they're doing good work. Right. So, because a lot of these coaching certification programs, it's like anyone and everyone can go through it and put the letters after their name and say, I'm this, you know, certified. And the facilitators have no idea what kind of work they're doing. Like they've never seen that student facilitate. And I'm like, I've heard just so many terrible stories from clients of working with coaches or therapists that it was just terrible. And I'm like, I would like to create more good practitioners in the world. We have enough people with all the letters after their names that still don't have that depth of embodiment and that ability to see and to hold and to cut through the noise and to work with the resistance in a effective way. Like, we have enough of those. And I'm ready for the next, to usher in the next generation and the next, you know, wave of practitioners who do things very differently.
Yeah. That brings up the question, like, who is a good candidate for your training program?
Yeah. So we have quite the variety of people from different backgrounds. We have like dance therapists who are doing our training, therapists. We have people who are in corporate America who have done their own personal embodiment work and are like, my life was so radically changed by doing this work that I now want to start building a career in this. So even if you have absolutely zero therapy background, but you've really done the foundational work of I've been doing my own inner work and I want to be able to help others through, business coaches who want to be able to incorporate somatic work as, you know, they're supporting their clients with money stuff, right? And visibility and scaling their business, you know, all the emotions that come up as a business owner. So business coaches who want to add this to their skill set and really take their clients' results to the next level, yoga teachers who want to be able to expand their practice and work with clients in other ways and deepen their awareness of how to work with trauma and the body. So we have quite the variety of, you know, ideal students who this work is best for.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And for those who don't necessarily have a career in this area or even anything parallel, what are the prospects of work for after the training?
So this training is really for those who want to go outside of the traditional system and blaze their own trail. So whether you want to start your own online business or start, you know, doing in-person stuff where you live or go into joint business with someone else who has a related skill set, whether they have like a center and they do, maybe you work with an acupuncturist and you provide the emotional support as they do the body support. Like there is truly endless options of what you could do with it. It's more of like you are not looking to kind of have your path handed to you. You're looking to create something that's never existed before because you have this dream and this desire inside of you to do something in the world that feels really, really meaningful to you.
Nice. And it is rewarding when you do.
Yes, yes, we can attest to that when you leave the traditional path. And, you know, even for those who go the traditional path, say you get the master's degree, the amount of people who either go into the job that they're qualified for and absolutely hate it, or they never even use their degree, right? Like they're like, I actually realize I don't want to go into this field because it's, yeah, sucking the life out of me.
I mean, the only, like pretty much the only option after the graduate training like we did is starting to work in hospitals, right? Or kind of more acute, settings, which is, it's hard. I mean, I'm grateful for my experience in so many ways. It's still really hard and it's not necessarily for everyone. And I got out of that after, I don't know, 8 years or so. But it was, yeah, it was sucking the soul out of me too. And yeah, I think there's a lot of job dissatisfaction in our, can't think of the word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of people, I think they assume, oh, if I go the master's track, it's like the safer option. Like, oh, I'll be set. I'll have the dream job. And that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
We know from experience, like going the traditional path is not a fail-safe plan. And it's no longer the only option, which is amazing. I think the landscape of education is really changing, just giving people more options that didn't exist even back when we were, you know, in school.
Yeah. And I mean, credentials alone aren't going to guide you or evolve you through a career, you know, it's all the other things that we've done, like client testimonials and, you know, all this other stuff that really provides people a safe feeling to work with us. And yeah, I mean, it's something you already spoke to where people are like, all right, more credentials, more credentials, more credentials. And it's like, that's,
yeah,
I think I mean, I have my credentials listed on my website, but, and probably only one out of 50 people ask me, like, what are your credentials and where did it come from? And like, no one's really grilling me about my credentials.
No, no. And I like what you said, credentials versus career, because the credentials don't get you the career. And they can get you a job, but they don't build you a sustainable career. You have to take that into your own hands and create that. Like, what is a sustainable career for me? And, you know, all the things that you have to do to create a career. And, I was going to say something. Oh, that is actually part of our training. The last section of our training is create your dream career. So, like, what are some of the foundational things that you need? How do you start feeling into that? How do you reverse engineer from, like, how many hours a day you want to be working and, like, how much money you want to be making and how to start talking about the work that you do, how to start marketing yourself, like, how do you start crafting and feeling into and dreaming of and working towards your career? Because that matters to me too, more than just credentials, like having a career that you actually love.
Yeah. And you said that you have ongoing support for students after the program ends as well.
We're going to do, yes, like a membership where there's quarterly, like a supervision group that you can come to, and just have that ongoing community and support.
Nice. Is there anything else that you want to share about your training program before we kind of do a little,
sure, you know,
call to action?
Yeah. The next cohort starts in 2025, February 2025. So we're in the early enrollment period, having students sign up now. And yeah, we're super excited.
And how often are you generally opening enrollment for those of for those people listening after February 2025?
So far, I mean, the program is a year long. And so the next enrollment, I mean, the next round will probably be in 2026. We will open enrollment before that. We have lots of different options of ways to, like, enroll and, you know, different payment plan structures. So if you want to enroll for a future round, that is possible. Yeah.
Cool. And how do people find out more information?
Yeah, go to healingembodied.com and there's a tab called Get Certified. So you can see the website there, all about the training. And you can also email me for questions, chelsea@healingembodied.com.
Awesome. I will put both of those links in the podcast notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This was such a great conversation.
It was. And I really appreciated just kind of like sparking that passion back up with another dance therapist / somatic practitioner about, you know, the importance of doing this work and the importance of doing our own work to do this work and just how special it is. And like, I know you feel similar to me where like, I was born to do this. This is my soul's mission here on earth, is to help people in this way. And if you are listening to this and you feel that, because that is so much of how people reach out, they're like, I know I need to do this work. I feel it. I know this is my path. And I get that. If you are feeling that and you want to at least talk with Chelsea about enrolling in the program and have someone so authentic and wise and true to her values lead you, I think Chelsea is just the perfect person.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I've been offering just free Zoom calls with people who are interested and, you know, helping you feel into like your vision and your dream and what that looks like. And yeah, if this program even feels like a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, sense Chelsea's vibe too. Like, right, not everyone is meant to work with everyone, but if you're feeling Chelsea and vibing through this audio recording, then that's also a great sign. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
We were vibing. I love it.